Welcome to Believers Academy. My name is Randall Lee, and today we are beginning a life-changing study with Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston called Speak God's Words, Get His Results. The first lesson is about spiritual laws, and you will learn that to get good results, we must follow the laws. Did you know that the kingdom of God runs on such laws as creation, faith, and confession? To work with God, we need to understand how these laws operate. Now, I know you want to get the most out of this lesson. So located right here on your screen are some downloadable tools, including a study guide, an action plan, scriptures for contemplation, and you can even test yourself by taking a quiz. It's open book. At any time during the presentation, you can pause to look up scriptures, to write some notes, and even go back so that you can catch every point. We are so happy to present this teaching to you. Are you ready to get started? Then let's join our teachers.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is alive and well. Praise God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And He is the head of the body of Christ, the strongest, most powerful thing that has ever been on this planet is the church of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we praise You today. We thank You for Your Word, the Word of the kingdom of God. And we give You praise and honor. Your will be done, sir, on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me today in welcoming Brother Bill Winston to this broadcast? Bill, praise God.
Good to be here.
Welcome home, bud.
Good to be here. Praise the Lord.
We enjoy it when the Winstons come over to see.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. We were talking earlier about the laws of the kingdom. And there are certain laws that govern force and power. There are laws that govern the atmosphere. A law is something that works every time it's put to work for whomever activates it. Is that a good description, definition?
That is correct.
And the kingdom of God functions by spiritual law.
Yes, sir.
The activation of spiritual law and its mighty forces created all matter.
Yes.
So there are laws that govern all material things. In fact, they teach it in school as the laws of physics.
Yes.
Took them years and years and years and years to figure out what those laws were. Bill, I lay on this table today that a 747 would have flown in the Garden of Eden just the same as it'll fly in the air of this earth today. But the only reason nobody flew airplanes back there, they didn't know the laws that governed it. And they had to come on it a little bit at a time. Now, God knew it all the time. But in realization of the fact that the laws of the kingdom of heaven and earth are laid out in these two covenants. But they are spiritually discerned and by revelation imparted. Amen.
So Jesus taught these laws too.
Oh, absolutely. See, there are laws that govern the blessing. Now, they were teaching the law of Moses.
Yeah.
But Jesus came preaching the blessing. Nobody had ever heard that. They all got so, you mean we're blessed? That all they ever heard was how bad they were.
That is true.
That's all they ever heard. But then Peter comes along here later in the book of Acts, and he is preaching to these same people, and he said, God sent Jesus to bless you. Amen. Now, let's look in the third chapter of the book of Romans. And let's look at the 26th verse. To declare, I say at this time his righteousness, that he might be just or righteous, and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. So faith functions by laws. People say, you know, I just don't know why faith don't work for me, because you don't know the laws of God.
Exactly.
And
right.
if you monkey with it, you understand what I mean with that? You start monkey, but you know, here's what I think about it. It don't make a hill of beans what you or I think about it. It's what the Word says about it, and it has to be studied and received by faith so that revelation of it reveals to the spirit of man, transferred to the mind of man, which renews his mind and transforms him into somebody else.
And Brother Copeland, that the Bible says over in Proverbs, now I'm not going to leave where you are right now, but over in Proverbs and chapter 24, he says something interesting. He says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. So when you have understanding or knowledge of something, it increases your strength.
Yes, it does.
See, you're able to do things then that you perhaps weren't able to do because you didn't have enough strength to do it. You may have been in fear, but knowledge gave you faith.
You know what I've heard people say this, and it just flashed across my mind as you were saying it. You mean to tell me I just step out there in blind faith? No, faith ain't blind.
See,
it's not supposed. It ain't faith if it's blind. I step out there believing God, and as I do, I have revelation. Now I'm gonna quote a TV preacher that I listen to on a regular basis, and Bill Winston made this statement over and over and over again. If you can see it, you can have it. But he's talking about seeing in the Spirit, not with these natural eyes. God will not bless you beyond your mental capacity. He's not talking about your IQ. He's talking about the amount of renewing of your mind. I believe God. I'm not stepping out on blind faith. Faith sees exactly where I'm going. Exactly. Now, my eyes may not, but my eyes have learned to get in line. It took a while, but they had to get in line here. Amen? Now, the laws of faith, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's part of that law.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to break that up and around,
it doesn't
work right. Mm-hmm. So, you start tolerating some fear. Now you've diluted the faith.
That's exactly right.
And contaminated.
Contaminated.
We were discussing before the broadcast today the law of confession. Now listen to me. I wish I could get a hold of your shirt. Listen to me. This is big in the kingdom of God.
Yes, it is.
Jesus simply said, you have what you say. Now, there are laws that govern this. I just don't see what difference it makes what I say about it. Well, that's the reason you say the wrong stuff all the time, and just look what you have. You've got what you've been saying. And you saying what you have just reinforces what you've been saying. That's why you have what you have. But there are laws at work.
And they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Yeah, that's what you think. That sticks and stones will break, break your bones, but
and
words will kill you. That words are life and death.
This law of confession, I believe, is the granddaddy. I mean, after the law of love, this law of confession has got to be studied. Somebody's got to know about this. They've got to know. We've got to know how we were designed to operate, how to function in this earth. And we function primarily by words. And because we're made in the image of our Father. And He functions by words. And Jesus functioned by words. And this law that we're talking about, understanding how to work that. The Bible says over here again, I'm referring to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, it's because your strength is small. You don't understand something. You have no knowledge. And knowledge takes away the fear. Knowledge takes away the doubt. For example, you fly airplanes, and here I was in undergraduate pilot training, and that's what we were doing. We were being taught laws of flight. We were taught how thrust and gravity and drag and thrust, how these things and lift, how these things operate in a dynamic that'll make an airplane take off, how the air comes over the camber and so forth. Now, we talked that. This friend of mine, every time he went up, his stomach would get upset and he'd spit up. He'd have to take a barf bag, that we call it. And every time he'd come down, I said, how'd you do this time? He said, I did it again. But we went on and sat in ground school, and he got an understanding of flight, and all that went away. All that was promoted by fear.
Yeah, I just started asking.
Yeah.
Every time he got ready to fly, fear acting on his nervous system.
Yes, indeed.
Acting on his physical body.
That's good.
So don't tell me an invisible force won't act on the physical being.
Exactly right.
Control. Somebody doesn't understand how faith could heal me. Well, will fear make you sick?
That's exactly right.
Well, fear will change the color of your hair. It'll affect the way your heart beats.
Everything.
Doesn't fear make it start beating faster?
Fear.
Well, why wouldn't faith slow it back down?
Glory to God.
So once he began to get some knowledge of the fact that this thing wasn't going to just fall out of the air all of a sudden, there were certain laws involved, and as long as they were functioning, everything going to be all right. His old belly settled down, and he got involved in flying the airplane, forgot to be sick.
Now, how many people are getting on an airplane today in fear, whether, oh, Lord, or this thing, will it fly, you know, so forth? And there's a law here,
Bill,
that governs this.
Help me, Lord, say this right. People are not afraid of flying. They're afraid of dying. You're not afraid to fly. You're afraid of that thing falling out of the sky. We've been given the victory over death.
We sure have. Praise God.
Hebrews 2:9.
Yep.
By grace, Jesus, grace now.
Yes.
By grace, Jesus tasted death for all men. Now, why would the scripture use the word taste? Mm. It represents the physical senses.
My goodness.
Those of us that have Jesus as Lord of our life,
yeah.
You can't taste it when you die.
Mm.
You won't be able to feel it when you die. You won't be able to see it when you die. You won't be able to hear it when you die. You'll never know when you die. Now, the reason why is the scripture says you already died. You've done, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you died the death of the cross with Him. He tasted death for you. You'll never know it when you die.
What
that's my body. What that thing doing laying there? I sure do feel better. Glory to God. And because you've already gone to heaven. The scripture said we were raised up to sit together with Him. We've been delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. And then in the book of Colossians, particularly in the Amplified Translation, where over there in the third chapter, I believe it is, in Colossians, where it said, set your affections on things above. The Amplified says, because as far as you are concerned, you have already died and are now seated with Him in the heavenlies. Set your affections and emotions on those things that are above
and not beneath.
Now what happens when you do that? The scripture says all your needs are supplied by His riches.
Now that's true.
According to His riches in glory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So once you begin to realize that, Bill, we are not employed by heaven. We've been deployed
by
heaven.
My goodness.
We're in the kingdom.
Yeah.
We're living in the kingdom now.
My goodness.
Mm. And when I die, I'll never know it.
My goodness.
I'm here 1 second, there the next. Step right on in, just keep going, because you're already in heaven.
Mm.
And when you begin to live like that, you begin to speak like He is already there.
There.
My needs are met.
Yeah.
Where are they? In heaven. Well, how are you going to get them here? My confession.
See, that's activating that law of faith.
That's it, isn't it? That is it. Thank you, Lord, for helping us with that. To bring when God allowed my spirit to enter into the earth in this physical body. Before the foundation of the world, I was already like every other human spirit that God, before the foundation of the world, knew the name of every spirit being that was to be released into this earth. Before the foundation of the world, made us all rich beyond our wildest dream or concept, because we all joint heirs with Him. And He's still creating. The universe is still expanding. It's still at the speed of light. He's still creating. And we still ownership here. Now, what does He do? He calls things that be not as though they were. Well, where's were? Before the foundation of the world. So when we came into this earth, all this is set aside. Well, Bill, we don't need it in heaven. We need it here. It was designed to be here. So how are we going to get it here? We have His words to put into our heart, into our mind, come out our mouth with the same creative force as His that does what? Brings from that spiritual realm into material
reality.
Reality. I don't know how to say it any different.
That's Copeland. I even, when I was preaching on the well transfer, I got over into
which everybody in the body of Christ ought to hear. Forgive me. I'm talking to you. He already knows that. Everybody in the body of Christ ought to have his material on the wealth transfer. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. That not only things are transferred from earth to earth, but they're also transferred from way back from the beginning of time, things that such as healing. See, all of this is still a part of the economy of God. See, this is part, invention is a part of the economy of God. So I can transfer an invention from a spiritual realm into my life.
You're supposed to.
I'll tell you,
amen.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
The first new jet airplane that we had.
Yeah.
I didn't know they made new airplanes for a long time because, you know, I was like all the other, all the other poor folks, I wasn't even looking at new ones. I mean, the only people who had the new ones was dope dealers and whiskey salesmen.
Yes,
you know?
Indeed.
But I finally realized they didn't belong to them, they belonged to us.
Ah, Lord, that's it.
And so the first one we had, I was so excited about it. I'd have stopped out on the ramp the first trip I took, and it just stopped and turned around there and looked at it and just danced out there on the ramp. My God. And I said, Lord, why is it that the technology for these things was given to people outside the church? That bothered me, man.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I couldn't get my people to come get them.
My goodness.
He said, they wouldn't have nothing to do with me. They all trying to be poor. Oh, don't want none of that worldly stuff. Well, listen, the worldly stuff don't belong to the devil. He stole it. It's not his.
Oh, I'm telling
anyway, he said, I needed the technology in your time.
My goodness.
And I couldn't wait because it had to be developed. And he said, I couldn't get my people to come get them. He said, very few of them would pay attention to me. And he said, I had to go to these other people. And you notice the people that he did give it to, nearly all of it came to Americans.
It sure did.
Americans and Canadians. You don't find copyright laws in other nations much. And the thing that I noticed, the people that he did give it to respected God.
They
but
did.
But they weren't religious
That's
people.
That's correct.
Religion had twisted the mind of God's people to think they weren't supposed to have it.
And they wouldn't desire it. See,
no.
Whatsoever thing you desire. See, they wouldn't desire.
You don't desire, you don't dig.
No.
Well, that's the end of our first lesson in the series, Speak God's Word, Get His Results. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching and that you've learned something that you can put into practice today. Don't forget about the free downloads located on your screen. Our next lesson is titled, Choice Begins with Words. So be sure to come back soon. You don't want to miss hearing more from our anointed teachers who have learned the power that's in God's Word. Until then, have a wonderful day. And remember, Jesus is Lord.